Oh, a few weeks back, Pastor Bill walked through prayer for us. And so we're circling back, and we're hitting all the topics again. Last week, Pastor Bill talked about worship, and this week we're going to talk about prayer again. Okay, so there's a bunch of different prayers that are found all throughout Scripture, right? Believe it or not, prayer is a topic that is found all throughout the Bible, right? So can someone tell me how would you define, what is prayer? Anyone? Right, it's communion with God, it's talking to God. And so I put four different ones on here, okay? The first one is intercession. So a prayer of intercession looks something like praying for other people or praying that God works for other people. It's interceding on behalf of other people. We do that a lot here, right? At the end of our service, we have a prayer time to where very often we're interceding for people. We share our requests and we pray that God works in their lives. That is a very biblical thing. The next one is thanksgiving, right? Where we thank God for the blessings that He has given us. We praise God for who He is, and we're coming from a position of thankfulness. Also, very much biblical. We do that often here as well. The final here is petition, which is now we're not interceding on behalf of someone else, but now we're praying for ourselves. And we're coming to God and we're saying, God, please intercede on my behalf, God. I have this request. You're a God who cares. All of those things, right? And there's many more prayers, types of prayer. All of those things are really good, okay? We do all of those things here Sunday morning. I think we all do that if we have a relationship with God. And yet the prayer that I want to talk about this morning is a little bit different, and I think that we have a harder time with this. And that prayer is called a prayer of lament. Have you guys ever heard of a prayer of lament? Okay. Does anyone have a guess what a prayer of lament would be? Yeah. See, this is a prayer that the kind of focus this morning of our worship service is praying through our pain. Right? How many of you guys have experienced pain in this life? Everyone's hand. Right? We live in a very broken world that is very evidently broken. Right? I just got back from Massillon this weekend because we were at a funeral for Mackenzie's grandma. And we kind of got over the last few months, we've got to see up front the reality of death, and that culminated this weekend with a funeral. Right? Death and pain and suffering. See, those things are really, really hard. And yet I would contest that we don't oftentimes in our culture have great language and great ways of dealing with that. See, if you read the Psalms, one-third of the Psalms are actually prayers of lament like this. One-third of the Psalms are people crying out to God in the midst of their pain, crying out and saying, God, what are you doing? And yet, I don't think one-third of our prayers are that. I think that sometimes there's a stigma that if we're honest with God, if we're honest with how we feel, if we're honest by telling Him the pain that we're going through, if we're up front asking those questions of why, God, are you letting this happen? Why, God, aren't you interceding? God, why are you not feeling close? If we say things like this, sometimes there's this stigma in our heart that we're like sinning, that we're questioning God, that we don't truly have faith. And yet I want this morning, I want to look at one of these Psalms, one of these prayers of lament, and I want to dig in, and I want to give us a space that when we hurt, when we are going through pain, that there is actually a category to talk to God about it. There's actually a template that the Bible authors go to in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their suffering, because we serve a God who cares, and we serve a God who wants us to go to Him. See, if you go on Google, which is a very reliable source, probably heard of it before, and you type in, why do people, like, go away from God? Why do people run away from God? Why don't people believe in God? One of the main things that they'll say is because bad things happen, right? Because bad things happen, we now can't believe in God because there's no way God would let us or let something like that happen. I remember reading of a Christian artist, like a musical artist, who was very big. I'm not going to say their name, but they were very big, very popular. And I remember a few years back reading an article about why they turned away from God and why they don't worship God anymore, and it's because his wife couldn't get pregnant. Because they were going through so much pain and so much heartache, like infertility, which is a real thing, which causes real pain. And they didn't have a category how to talk to God about it. And so their only solution was to turn away from God. There's countless examples of people who lose loved ones, and they turn away from God because they don't have a category to talk to God about that. And so my goal this morning is to give us a category to talk to God in the midst of our pain. That's not my words. Like, there's so many of these in the Bible. We read one of the scriptures that we read this morning came from Lamentations. The entire book of Lamentations is all poems about lament. It's all songs about lament. The book of Job is a narrative about lament. One third of the Psalms is about lament. See, the Bible authors do not shy away from the pain that people face in this world. And in the midst of their pain, what they do is they turn to God and they ask Him why this is happening. And they question and they converse with Him. And in so doing, they draw closer to Him. So you may ask, what does lament actually look like? So these are the four things that happens in a song or a prayer of lament. And the first thing we see is that the person turns and their focus and their questioning is to God. See, it's really, really easy in the midst of our suffering to come in and not want to share with people. And put on a face that everything's okay. And not want to pray because we don't want to offend God. And we just keep it all inside. Or maybe we're not the person that likes to keep it all inside and just like to talk to other people. And talking to other people is not bad, but it is bad if you're not talking to God as well. Right? Like, I can process with other people, but if I am not going to God with my pain, then I am not truly lamenting. And I am not bringing my requests to God. So the first part of a biblical lament is turning to God. The second part is the complaint. And let me tell you what. This is messy. See, those Psalms, those one-third of the Psalms, those are most of the Psalms we don't like to read. Because as we read them, we're like, why are you saying that to God? We almost feel uncomfortable with the things that the psalmist actually says to God. We actually feel uncomfortable going to God with those complaints, and yet it's in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. God wants us to go to him with our complaints. There's a psalm, Psalm 22, where David goes and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he calls out and he says, God, why have you turned your face? I am like a wormwood. I am despised, my man. You are not basically loving me, is what he's saying. And as we read that, it's uncomfortable to read it. And yet, if we read the New Testament, those are the exact words that Jesus quotes when he's on the cross. That Jesus quotes these words of David, and he turns to his father and he says, my God, why are you forsaking me? Even though Jesus was God, even though Jesus knew that the Father didn't forsake him, in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his pain, he draws back on these words that were said 1,000 years earlier by King David in the midst of David's pain, and he cries out to God and he says, it feels like you've forsaken me. And I would contend that if Jesus, in his moments of pain, can cry out to God in an uncomfortable manner to us, that we also can. Because after that, the complaints then turn into a request. Where it goes from just complaining to asking for something. But then finally, it moves to trust. It moves to trusting that God is in control. It moves to trusting that God knows what he's doing. It goes to building the relationship, not tearing the relationship down. See, a lament does something in the soul of the person praying that ultimately through complaining, through asking, it actually builds this trust that we trust in God. Jesus also did this while in the garden. Right before he's arrested, right before he's about to die, he cries out to God and he says, God, take this cup from me. Right? He asks God, he says, just take it from me. I don't want to die like this. And yet in the end, he says, but your will be done, not mine. See, the ask turns into trust that even though in that moment he didn't want the pain, he didn't want the suffering, and it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that. And yet it turns into this trust that God's will be done, not ours. Right? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. That was a long intro, I know. I promise the rest of it's not that long. And then we're going to look at a psalm. And we're going to walk through these stages of lament while we walk through this psalm. And we're going to pray that God gives us an outlet for our pain. Because if you go to a church where they say if you follow Jesus, you won't experience any pain, it's just not what the Bible says. Because why is a third of the Psalms about praying through our pain if we don't have any pain? Why is the book of Job in the Bible? Why is the book of Lamentations in the Bible? Why is Jesus in the garden in the Bible if we don't suffer? See, this life, this promise that we have from God, it's not that we won't suffer. It's that we won't be alone when we suffer. That our pain not only has a purpose, but also that our pain is not felt alone. Right? The fact that Jesus became flesh and became a human and suffered, Scripture tells us that that means that he also knows the pain that we're going through. And that he can sympathize and he can empathize. And he is right there in the midst. See, that's our hope. Our hope is that when the pain comes, that we have language for it. That we have words to deal and to walk through it. And that we have a God who is with us in our pain. And we also have a family, a church family, that suffers alongside of us. But don't get too far, because we'll get into that at the end. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you that you have Psalms about suffering. Lord, sin entered the world, and with it pain and death. Yet you did not leave us alone. Lord, as we open up your scripture, Lord, I pray that we see you for who you are. Lord, that we see you through our pain, and that you let us pray through our pain. We pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture that we're going to open up to is Psalm chapter 13. And we're going to be in the entire chapter. It's only 6 verses. And we're going to walk through Psalm chapter 13, and we're going to see an uncomfortable yet beautiful portrait of pain. Let's dig in. For the choir director, a psalm of David. We're going to tuck that in our pocket. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But this is a song that was sung all throughout the worship of Israel. Right? Like, this is written down to be a song. It doesn't tell us the context of the pain that David's going through. Maybe David is fleeing from Saul, who's trying to kill him. That happens at one point in his life. Maybe he wrote this during then. Or maybe he's fleeing from his own son who's trying to kill him. We don't know. And yet we know that David was going through a lot of pain, and this is what he says. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? Is that how you guys normally pray? That's not how I pray. There's this level that I want to soften my prayers. Right? Maybe I'll start off by like, God, I'm really sad right now. But God, I trust you. God, you're in control. But that's not how I actually feel. That when my soul is crying out, when I'm wrestling with faith, when I'm wrestling with sadness, when I'm wrestling with pain, my number one, what I normally do is not be honest with God, and yet that's exactly what David does. Right? This is uncomfortable because we know that God didn't forget him. We know that God doesn't hide his face from him. And yet that's how he feels, and so that's what he says. Guys, the number one thing that we as a church want to be is we don't want you to feel like you have to clean yourself up to come here. Right? That when someone asks you how you're doing, our natural response is to say, I'm doing good, regardless if that's true or not. Because we don't want to show other people our pain, and I think we translate that to God as well. I think when we're suffering, when we're in the midst of pain, we struggle to do this because we feel like we're sinning. At least I feel like I'm sinning. And yet if we look here, who does David address this psalm to? Lord, God, Yahweh. Right? That's the first step of a lament. Is it's towards God. And then he goes and complains like I've never complained to God. I truly have never said this because I actually would feel uncomfortable saying this, and yet this is what is in the Bible. These are the prayers that were prayed for thousands of years. Lord, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will you store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? God wants us to pray our mess. God wants us to be honest with him. God wants us to complain. It's crazy, right? Does that sound a little uncomfortable saying that? Sounds uncomfortable to me. But then we continue. Verse 3. Consider me and answer, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. God, if you don't step in, I'm going to die. God, if you don't step in, regardless if it's Saul or Absalom, my son, I will be killed because my enemies are trying to destroy me. God, if you don't step in, this will be the end of me. Save me, O Lord. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. See, one thing that David knew was David, a long time ago, again, we don't know exactly when David wrote this, and yet when David was a young man, he got a promise that God will anoint him, that God did anoint him, and he will be king, and that through his line, the Messiah will come. And so David knows that if he dies, that's not coming about. And so David knows that he will be saved, and yet he still cries out to God. See, we have a promise from God that he will not abandon us, that he will not leave us. And so when it feels like he left us, we can pray those promises back to God and say, you promise not to leave me. Please save me. You promise not to abandon me. Please show up in this moment. See, David has faith that God can change that circumstance. David has faith that even though life is so hard that he would say something like, why have you forgotten me? That is actually not true. So David's request is that God shows up in that moment, that God does not forget him. See, and we have that same confidence. We have that same confidence that God has not forgotten us. We have that same confidence that God does not waste our pain. That even though we go through pain, that pain is for a reason, and that we one day will be with him, and that we will no longer suffer anymore, and that God is in control, so that when life is spiraling and it feels like there is no control and that chaos is winning, we can pray and be honest about that, but also pray and ask that God steps in because he promises that. He promises that he is stronger than the chaos. And again, I don't know what that looks like. Like, we prayed that Mackenzie's grandma was healed, and she wasn't healed. But right now she's healed. Right now she's not facing that pain anymore. that sometimes God's promises and God's provisions is not this lifetime. And yet, God still provides in this lifetime. That God still steps in this lifetime. That we serve a God who loves us and cares for us and will sometimes heal and will oftentimes provide. And he wants us to ask. So that's what David does. He asks God, don't let my enemies triumph over me. Save me, O Lord. And he did. I don't know when this prayer was prayed, but we know he did. He saved him from Saul. He saved him from Absalom. And then we get to verse 5. But I have trusted in your faithful love. In the past, right? In the past, God, I have trusted in your love. David reminds himself of all the times that God has come through in his life. Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of pastors can experience this and sympathize with this. But one of the hardest things about being up here is that as you say things, that you're oftentimes talking to yourself. That it may seem like I'm talking to you guys, but in reality, I'm talking to myself. That I constantly need to be reminded that I have trusted in him. And he has been faithful. That he is in control regardless of what life circumstances come. So David remembers God's faithfulness. And then, my heart will rejoice in your deliverance. That's not past, that's future. It now changes from God's faithfulness in the past being something that David remembers and moves towards the future deliverance that David sees, even though it hasn't come yet, and he's already rejoicing in the fact that God will deliver him because he has that much trust in him. Because in the past God has delivered him, he believes that God will then deliver him again, and because of that, he will sing because God has treated him generously. That's in the present. Right? Like, right now, in the past and present, God has treated him generally. So David is looking back and he's seeing that in the past, God has been trustworthy. And in the future, he has so much trust in God that he's already rejoicing in the fact that he will be delivered. And now in the present, I will sing because you have treated me generously. Do we pray like that? I don't. Do you see how it went from uncomfortable to something that we sing and make worship songs about? See, this is sometimes the hard part, and I get a little frustrated when people pull things out of context, because this is so much more beautiful when you saw verse 1 and 2. When you cried out to God and say, God, why have you forgotten me? It's a lot more beautiful to say, I now trust in you, and my heart rejoices in your deliverance, and I will sing to the Lord because you have treated me generously, after you've already seen where David's been. This is what a lament does. Psalms of lament and prayers of lament draw us to God in the midst of our pain. As David is writing this, it's not like he wrote the first couple lines and then after deliverance he wrote the last ones. It's all in the same time. That's what lament does. Is it turns our attention to God. It allows us to pour out our heart and complain to God and gives us space to say things that are even uncomfortable. It gives us a space to ask and petition to the God who loves us. But what it does is it builds trust and builds hope in us. So why do we lament? This psalm was written by David. See, David wrote this probably in around 1000 BC, something like that. And yet this psalm was used all throughout the pain of God's people. In about 600 BC, the Babylonian Empire came in and took them out into captivity, took the Israelites into captivity. And while they're in captivity, this is a psalm that they sung. In the midst of their pain, they sung psalms like this. In about 200 BC, this evil king named Antiochus came and persecuted the Israelites. And they sung psalms like this in the midst of their pain. Jesus, while hanging on the cross, sung psalms like this in the midst of his pain. The apostles, as they were dying, sung psalms like this. The early church, in the midst of intense suffering from the Roman Empire and from the empire around the world, sang psalms like this. And believers right now who are facing persecution all throughout the world sing psalms and pray prayers like this. And so what this psalm does is it unites generations of God's people around pain and the faithfulness of God. See, David had a specific circumstance that was going on when he wrote this, but it was absolutely in context for someone as they're about to be fed to a lion in 200 AD to say something like, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will you store up anxious concerns within me? Agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemy dominate me?" Like, that is very much in context of Roman persecution, just like it was the persecution David was feeling. See, these words of David are timeless because these are prayers that the church has used to draw our pain into trust, to turn pain into trust. And they sang songs just like this, just like the last verses of this, moments before they died. "I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously." We can sing that too. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the pain and the suffering that each one of you has felt in your life. I'm sure that if we wrote it down, it'd be quite a sad story. But what I do know is this: that our God has not actually forgotten us. That there's language in the Bible for a time just like this, for when our pain pain is going on, there's language. For whenever suffering happens, there's language. Our God is not afraid of our complaints. Our God is not afraid for us to pour out our heart to Him. Our God is capable of deliverance. And our God will not abandon us. That if deliverance does not come in this lifetime, that it will be ours forever. That we, if you are in Jesus, see, if you don't put your trust and hope in Jesus, you can complain and you can ask, but if you don't trust, then who are you complaining to? You're just complaining. But if your trust and hope and faith is in Jesus as your Savior, deliverance will come. I believe that God delivers in this lifetime. There's many stories of God's deliverance happening in this lifetime, but there's an ultimate deliverance that will trump that deliverance, whatever you've experienced God deliver you. And that deliverance is an ultimate deliverance. That one day pain will be no more, that death will be no more, and that we will live with Him. And He will be our God, and we will be His children. Lament is how you live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. Lament is how we bring our sorrow to God. Without lament, we don't know how to process pain. See, we need to process pain. I think that we all need therapy. Right? This is not a don't talk to anyone else. Like, go talk to someone, but also talk to God. Right? Work through your pain. We need others. Talk to others about your pain. But don't be ashamed to go to God with your pain. Because He also wants to come. He also wants to start the process of healing. And it ends with trust. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank You. Thank You that in the midst of pain and suffering, that You are a God who does not forget us. Lord, thank You that we can cry out, "Why have You forgotten me?" And even though we feel like that, we know that You haven't. Thank You that You give us a space for our pain. And Lord, help build a trust in us. Let us as a church be a safe place for people who are going through hardships. Let us be a beacon to those in pain. We pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.